Welcome to Dangerous Christianity with Dr. Christopher Rodkey, where we explore new ways of being Christian that go against the grain, stands up against the church when it's evil, speaks truth to power, and reclaims the Bible as a radical message of hope, liberation, and justice. Dr. Rodkey is pastor of St. Paul's United Church of Christ in Dallastown, Pennsylvania, and leads the Sacred Profane Community, a post-faith gathering for those seeking to nurture a literate and misfit, geeky, sometimes sneaky, as well as a queer-affirming and beer-affirming spirituality. All information mentioned throughout the program is listed in the show notes. And now, please welcome Dr. Christopher Rodkey.
You can imagine it. It was the worst day of their lives. Their 12-year-old daughter had just died. Jairus, who was a man of stature in the synagogue, sent some people to summon Jesus, hearing that he was performing miracles. The people said to the servants, "She's gone. There's nothing you can do for her." The Bible says in English that Jesus overheard the naysayers and what they were saying. If you have a good Bible to reference Mark 5, there's a little footnote in there that says that the earliest versions of the text suggest that Jesus was ignoring them. Jesus ignored the naysayers, which means he overheard it, but it didn't make any difference whatsoever to what he was doing. Jesus goes to the home of Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, and says to Jairus and his wife, "Don't be afraid, but believe." Entering the doors, there was wailing and commotion, and some people were even laughing at the idea of Jesus being there. But Jesus is calm. He says, "Why are you weeping? The child isn't dead." Jesus kicks out everyone from the house except for the parents. Jesus was subscribing to Pennsylvania's safety laws, right? Getting rid of everybody but the parents, make sure the parents are still there. And he takes her hand and says, "Talitha kum." The scripture says immediately after these words that the words mean, "Little girl, get up." And she woke up and started walking around. The parents were overcome with amazement, according to the Bible. And Jesus was like, "You're going to go get her something to eat or what?" And then Jesus ordered them not to say a word to anybody. This story is so short that it's easy to miss the details, and the details of the story are different in the other Gospels. The word said in Aramaic, "Talitha kum," is immediately explained in the Bible as, again, meaning, "Little girl, get up." Those words in Aramaic also mean, "Arise, my little fleece." That sounds sort of weird, but it may be sort of like a pet name for a little girl, like people say "honey" today to their children. Jesus's words imply that his command to arise is coming from someone who loves her and knows who she is, or at least, at the very least, he is gentle and he is kind. It's also interesting that the Bible never said the girl was dead. Everyone had concluded, though, that she was dead. I assume they didn't want the little girl to be dead, so it was a genuine belief, and people were upset. It was, as I said before, the parents' worst day of their lives. And Jesus' instruction to the parents were, "Do not be afraid." How could you not be afraid? Jairus, the father, found Jesus and said the girl was at the point of death, and then people stop Jesus on the way. He gets distracted. He sort of gets angry with the woman who touches his cloak without his permission, and that's in the paragraph that we skip over in the story here. But when they went to Jairus' house, when they finally arrived there, they are saying that now the girl's dead. And someone said, "Why bother now? She's gone." As I said before, Jesus ignored the naysayers and begins by saying to the parents, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid." I think there's some really powerful lessons in this story from the Bible for us. When you pray, when you approach God with problems, there's often a delay. God gets sidetracked. We should be aware of other people's suffering around us. Another lesson here is when you are facing something awful and facing the death of someone you love, and when you're in grief, don't think you're troubling God to spend time with God and working through where God is found in tragedy and the fact that we all die. I don't know if you ever heard the story of a fundamentalist pastor who started out his sermon by saying to the entire room as loud as he could, "Every member of this church is going to die." And in the course of the sermon, he kept coming back to that phrase, every member of the church is going to die. You've probably heard a sermon like that at some point. And finally, a little boy in the front row with his grandparents stood up and walked toward the front of the church as if he was coming to an altar call a little early in the middle of the sermon and pointed his finger at the minister and said, I'm not going to die. And the preacher looked down at the little boy and said, what makes you think that you can escape death, that you're not going to die? And the boy said, I'm not a member of the church, Pastor. So, right, when we face death, too, we should recognize that God doesn't abandon us either. In fact, for me, an important part of the Jesus story is what happens on Good Friday. Jesus, as God, faces human death just the same as any of us. In fact, probably a lot worse than us in the manner of dying. Even God, God is in the form of a human, dies. Jesus waking this girl up doesn't assume that she had a human life that went on forever. The message delivered here wasn't so much to save the girl from death, but that the parents, with the father as leader of the synagogue, a religious leader whose superiors could condemn Jesus later, was demonstrating not to lose hope. Don't lose hope believing that the Messiah will come. Don't lose hope believing that there still is hope. Don't lose hope assuming that even in the worst situation, there is an ultimate hope. The hard truth of the matter is that children die every day of disease, of negligence, starvation. In our own community, suicide and heroin addiction seem to be the focus of a lot of our attention. I looked it up this past week. According to the Center for Disease Control, in the most recent year, the leading deaths for children age 1 to 4 years old are accidents, genetic disorders, and homicide. Homicide? The leading cause of death for 5 to 14 years of age, which is the age of the girl in the Jesus story, are accidents, cancer, and suicide. Suicide for ages 5 to 14. The thing I think about when I hear this story from the Bible and connect it to the world that we live in today is how many times Jesus did not appear suddenly for those parents whose children die of homicide, of suicide, of cancer, in accidents, and how often those parents may have been shamed or blamed by those around them for not having enough faith and not having enough belief. I don't have an easy answer to this question. Part of the risk of being human is that we die. Jesus doesn't say that there is no death. He himself is not immune to it, as we know the story goes. But what he does is advise us not to be afraid, that we can have faith in the hope of enormous calamity, that Jesus remains with us and that we may have the shared hope of a resurrection with Jesus, which is what we celebrate during Easter, that we will one day hear those words that that little girl heard when she woke up holding the hands of Jesus, saying, Talitha kum, little girl, arise. Little sheep, rise up. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so be it.
Welcome to Dangerous Christianity with Dr. Christopher Rodkey, where we explore new ways of being Christian that go against the grain, stands up against the church when it's evil, speaks truth to power, and reclaims the Bible as a radical message of hope, liberation, and justice. Dr. Rodkey is pastor of St. Paul's United Church of Christ in Dallastown, Pennsylvania, and leads the Sacred Profane Community, a post-faith gathering for those seeking to nurture a literate and misfit, geeky, sometimes sneaky, as well as a queer-affirming and beer-affirming spirituality. All information mentioned throughout the program is listed in the show notes. And now, please welcome Dr. Christopher Rodkey.